And so this morning, as we reflect back, and as I was thinking about what to share this morning, and I know we only have a few minutes, and I know that the aroma of the food downstairs is starting to rise, and so when that happens, you know, we get anxious, we get excited, and we're because we enjoy food, right? We enjoy food. I mean, many of y'all can understand. I do. You know, it's not just you go to a steakhouse, and so many people are misled by the food that they order, and they're just like, you know what, you know, steak really isn't that good. I mean, Ron, I don't know why, or this type of chicken just really isn't that good. But it's because we usually go for the cheapest thing on the menu. And many times we're deceived through that. But I want to say this morning that we're going to look at another food that God desires. And it's the most richest, it's the most, the very best for every one of us. And it is the Word of God, the only absolute truth that we have. And for the hunger and the thirst that He desires for us to have in His Word. And I don't know where you're at this morning. You know, we think of, there's times, mornings that I end up at church, and it's just more like it's a duty, it's a time. I show up and it's just there, and not really prepared my heart for what God desires to be able to minister into my life. And so I pray that today, that as we come, that it, regardless of your attitude or your motive or what it was that you chose to come here this morning, that you would allow God, that you would open up your heart and you say, God, what is it that you want to minister into my life here this morning? And it says here, I just put this here, it was a slide that I found. It says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And we're going to be talking about the cross here this morning. Now, I'm going to be trying to do two things here this morning. I'm going to try to run this slide behind me and my computer at the same time. I'm not used to that, so it's like stretching me a little bit this morning, but bear with me, and because many times I like mine right here, and I'll skip different things, but we'll just see what happens as we go along here. I think we have our family. I always like to start out with our family. If you could go to the next slide. Apparently it's locked up. Oh, there we are. But I never go anywhere without sharing and having my family, because that's a great part of who I am today. And if you heard my testimony, you would understand why this is so vital to me, because it's the very thing that the enemy tried to destroy at a very young age in my life. And so, of course, my wife is with us today, which is awesome. Thank you, honey, for choosing to travel with us on this trip. She doesn't go with me as often as she used to, and I know that outside, as beautiful as it was yesterday, there's all that pollen. She had a miserable last night, and I have a feeling if we were to be back home, she'd probably be snuggled under the covers, but she chose to come this morning regardless of how she is feeling, so be in prayer for my wife. And then, of course, you see our daughter also just got married, and we're in a whole different phase of life. I says I turned 40 last year, and my daughter got married. I am officially old, Jerry. Just the bottom line. I'm just old. But anyway, what a blessing it is. She did marry a young man that I'm very much at peace about. Matter of fact, I've seen so much of his journey of leading spiritually that brought me so much peace. And I just want to bless you young men right here this morning that God is implanting in you. And as you do so and be thinking about what a foundation that God is desiring to build in your life, that you can be that rock for a young lady that you will snatch up one day. The little zap happens, and it's just like, what do I do with this? I hear this all the time. I get to hang out with the youth that are anticipating some of these things, and it's a joy to see that. And I just want to bless you in that way. His name is Matthew Zook, and they make their home there in Pennsylvania, Gap, Pennsylvania. But one of the things that I shared a lot of people have come to me and says, Ron, what does it feel like? I mean, no, this is your first daughter, and you know, what does this here really feel like? And I say that because of this young man that I have seen, and I have seen his journey and how he desired to follow Christ and how he would step to the plate and lead. I told them on the day of the wedding that the reason I have so much peace is because I have seen his journey, and I really believe my daughter is getting an upgrade from her dad. Her dad had done the very best that he knew how to raise her and to care for her heart. But I really believe he's going to do a better job than I am. And because of that, we desire the very best for our children. And if they're getting an upgrade, aren't we grateful? Absolutely. But yes, so we talk about Roxanne, and then we have Richie there. He's 17 and a half years old and loves the Lord. And he is going through a time of really seeking the heart of God. It was, I guess, about 6 months ago when he rededicated his life, because he accepted Christ when he was, you know, like 7 years old. And so it was, I always say there's a time in our journey when what is it that God does for us? And we're kind of climbing up and constantly, you know, God did this. And so I have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I have, you know, I have to have my devotions. I needed to do this for it. I need to spend some time in prayer. But there's a time when we cross over. And when we cross over, and that's very different for every person on planet Earth, when we actually cross over, because when we cross over, it's not about what he does for us, but it's like, you know what, God, I want to serve you because I love you. I want to serve you. I want to read the Word of God because I know it makes a difference in my life. And, you know, I serve people because I want to, this is a way that I can serve you. And so you can always see it when they cross over, and the joy of my son in that endeavor. And then we have Randall, which is 14 years old, and then our youngest, Renessa, which is 12. And so that consists of our family. Well, we do have a little dog, you know, called Roche. And since all of our names started with an R, we had to continue that with this little dog, but it wasn't necessary to have her up here. But anyway, as we think about this morning, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. And I don't know, how many of you, oh, I thought I changed it. But anyway, how many of you have, oh, I'm going the wrong way, is that it? Let me get used to this. How many of you read this here book, Not a Fan? Has anybody read the book, Not a Fan, by Kyle Eidelman? No one. Okay, well, I'm going to expound a little bit on this here book because of what it did in my life. Now, for us out at New Horizons, one of the responsibilities that I have, and primarily is, we have a theme of the month. And then the theme of the month is a time that, for the whole mission, because there's about 80 of us there, that we look at a certain subject. We look at something, and we dig into it for a month, and we talk about it every morning in the different thrift stores, in the different households, and then Tuesday night Bible study is kind of around this theme, and then Thursday night prayer and praise is kind of around this theme. So we kind of dive in, and all month long we're talking about a certain subject. And so there's about at least 12 subjects a year that we talk about. And we had Billy Stahl just come out last month, and we talked about non-resistance. And so that was kind of the theme of that month. But we're constantly looking at different themes about purity, about the Holy Spirit, about, you know, the list goes on. We have a month of fasting and the joy of that, and that's usually in January. And there's just many things that, and one that I came across. I'm always looking for literature. I'm always looking for avenues of saying, God, what is it that you desire for us in this season of time to dig into? And I come across this here book, Not a Fan, and it totally transformed my life, because I begin to see areas of my life that, as he began to share it in a very practical way. Now, I'm going to tell you, first of all, that I'm not much of a reader, okay? Now, I have read this book, but I think this is maybe the only second book I've ever read in my life. Now, I buy a lot of books, okay? My wife says, honey, why are you coming home with another book? You don't read them. Well, I try. I have good intentions, okay? And I read like the first five or six chapters, and I'll flip back, and I just know the good is in the very, you know, the last 10 chapters, and then I'll read them. You know what I mean? But I did read this here book completely. But as you think about this morning of not being a fan, and as we look at here, it says, am I a fan or a follower of Jesus Christ? And that's going to be the question for all of us. And we're going to look what it really means and what it really takes to be a fan. A fan, The word fan is defined as an enthusiastic admirer. Now think about it. I'm not a baseball fan at all, okay, or a softball fan. I'm sorry, but I think it's boring. I mean, basically, you turn your hat and you spit and you wind up and you do these things, and it's just like, it's really all about the pitcher, I think. But anyway, maybe you all think different. But so when it comes to softball or baseball, it doesn't mean anything to me. But we have a league out there from New Horizons that go and play. And so because I know the people, I show up. But now I do it a little differently than some. Because, you know, as a fan, you know, I like to be there when they're winning, right? I just am. I mean, you really, all honesty, if y'all have a ball team here, you would not want me to be a fan of yours. Why? Because there's not much loyalty. Because I'm telling you, I drive separate than my wife. Now, my wife is a true follower of our team. Now, she gets there early. She gets there on time. I mean, and she'll be there all the way to the end. But I'm telling you, if we are losing, I got better things to do. I really do. And so I always drive separate. I leave before the game is over, unless they're winning. And then I'll stick around. But if not, I'm gone. And it's the same way. You know, before she goes and she's there on time, I'm like, well, you know, you can't win the first two or three innings. And so let them start. And then sometimes I will text them and I'll say, you know, where are we by now? Well, we're 10 down. Okay, well, there's definitely things I can do different tonight than come. And so in all reality, when we think of a fan, you would not want me as your fan. Now, a whole different story on other things in life that I am a true follower in. And so when we think about that today, we want to look at our Christian life and how much God began to work in my life. Says, Ron, yes, you are a Christian, but there's so much of your life that you're a fan of me. And there was many areas of my life I had to begin to repent because of this. And it says here, the word follower is defined as a person who imitates or copies. And it says in God's word, and that's the reason he's given it to us. I mean, think about Jesus. He wasn't just an ordinary person. He was an extraordinary person. And we can identify it in that way also is for the fact of how is our Christian life. Are we just an ordinary Christian? Are we just fitting in? Are we just a part of? Are we examining ourselves among ourselves? Are we looking at, well, you know what? You know, I know that I'm about in line with this next person beside me. Or I kind of see, and we kind of in that way. But God says, no, I want you to be a follower. A follower is someone that is ecstatic. Someone that is truly committed. It's someone that is very loyal. Someone that it doesn't matter what comes your direction, you would be seeking out and you would defend and you would stand up for who you are following. It wouldn't be just changing with the crowd that we are around. It doesn't matter where you go and what you are doing. One of the things that really affected me, I mean, think about your last vacation. Think about your last vacation. What changed in your vacation compared to what your routine was? Yeah, you say right away, well, of course, on vacation, you know, we don't have to worry about work. We can sleep in. We can stay up late. We can do all these things. But I'm talking about spiritually. What was different spiritually on your vacation? We'll begin to tell you if we are a follower or if we are a fan. Because a fan will set God aside and primarily, and we don't even really have a routine of having our devotions on that on our day of vacation. We may not, I mean, the list goes on of the things that we do totally different, and it will begin to identify if we are really a fan or a follower. Now, what does it take to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It says, if any of you want to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily and follow me. And it comes back to the cross. It comes back to the fact that we die to ourselves again and again and again and again. And as we daily go to the cross, I had to think of, I can look back in my journey and I can see areas of my journey that I've been areas that I was a true follower. And I can see areas of my journey that I was only a fan. And because of this here, of how intense and how exciting and how the moments were, I had to, even this week, this past week, we had our, we have a leadership inspirational time, just for, there's about 40 of us that either are, in some position of leadership there. at New Horizons, and so bi-monthly we just have like a 2-hour morning time that we come together, and there's training in that, and there's just all different things that happen. But one of the things that was so huge for me is this whole Easter. This Easter really affected my life because God began to show me again of areas that I have been just a fan and not a follower. I mean, just for the fact of understanding that there are so many things that as God reveals areas of my life, yes, I go quickly and not always quickly, but I try to go quickly when He reveals and lay it at the foot of the cross to say, God, I am sorry. But then I remain at the foot of the cross. I just remain there. I do not have the faith to go, or do not even have maybe the excitement or the loyalty to go to the tomb. And at the tomb, be prepared for something fresh and new that He wants to reveal and what He wants to take us farther in our lives. And so much of this was going on, and I just, yeah, stood before actually all of New Horizons, and I begged of their forgiveness as I lead them spiritually, how I have become a follower. I mean, how I was a fan, and God is revealing He wants me to become a follower of His, and it's through dying and recognizing these areas of our lives that He desires to do greater things. Now, we think of Jesus' ministry, where all this began. It says, this is why I told you that not one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. For this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. Now, we automatically know, we understand, and we know Scripture enough to understand that, you know, we a lot of times when we think of disciples, we think of the 12. But at this given time, this is right after feeding the 5,000. This is right after Jesus, for years, had been preaching, and it was a gathering that was coming around Him. There was people that were following Him. There was people that were interested in what He was doing, and they were intentionally following Him, and He was looking to them. And I'm telling you, I'm sure there was thousands, 5,000s, and 10,000s of people that were following Him. And He was saying, these are my followers. But He says, many turned back and no longer followed Him. And now you have to think about, this is when Jesus all began to realize, is like, wow, these people are coming because of what I'm doing. They like these experiences that they can see. They're coming out because, you know, they can tell people, yes, I'm following this man that healed the blind, that healed the sick. I was there. Man, well, you got to come. You got to come with me. Let's you know, today may be a day He heals someone else. You know, today may be whatever. And so there was a whole rally of people that were a movement that was going after Jesus. And then here He comes. And He says, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. For this time, many of the disciples, in other words, He was saying, it's not me, it's through the Spirit of the living God that you have to die to yourself and you have to die to your own desires and ambitions and saying, you know, I will die to that to follow Him. A huge crowd kept following Him wherever He went because they saw what? His miraculous signs as He healed the sick. We're no different than they were. How many times do we, when we hear of an evangelist or a pastor or some type of event, and people come back and say, man, you should have went, you know, this here was going on, and this, that, and the other happened, and how quickly, because we desire it. And that can be good in many ways, except if we go after the movement and not after the Spirit of the living God, realizing He could do that right where you're at. Maybe not even in that setting or that place. Some people think you have to go to this certain place and this certain thing has to be there. And if this person is there, then the Spirit of God is going to show up and it's going to change things in our hearts, and to realize that it's not the person, it's the Spirit of God. And it can happen anywhere if we seek Him. And that's what was happening here. They were going after who? Jesus, and not the Spirit that was leading him. Then it says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human efforts accomplish nothing. The very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But some of you do not believe. Now, I already mentioned about me being a fan or a follower of our ball team. If I really believed in softball, if I really believed, how many of you know I would be there? I just would. If you really believe in something, there's dedication that comes. There's commitment that comes. There's a oneness that comes. You will wear even their jerseys. You will do, the list goes on of what you will do when you really believe. It doesn't matter if they're losing. It doesn't matter what is going on. Because you believe, you will be there. And I'm saying, how many of us, and I come to you, I think all my messages always come from areas of my life personally that God has been revealing and convicting, and of areas of repentance that I had to come to, and this is the very thing. Why are you here? In John, it says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader who was a Pharisee. Now, why was it that John mentioned about Nicodemus? And I'll just share about Nicodemus just for a few minutes. We won't go in great, great detail. But you have to realize Nicodemus was a man with great influence. This man, he was very well educated. If he lived in our day and age now, he would have at least his master's degree. He would have at least 6 years and maybe 8 years of college under his belt. And he knew all the first 3 books of the Bible he had memorized and all these things. And he was a very educated man. He was a man that had great influence. He was, in our day and age, he would be like on the Supreme Court. He would be one of the judges. He would know how to defend the country. He would know all these things. So this man was a very, very educated man, but he also was a rabbi. And so he was in the synagogues. He was in the areas where Jesus was. He was around. He's seen Jesus. He's seen his movement. He's seen what was changing, but he was watching from a distance. Now, let me show you why I think he was watching from a distance. It says, after dark one evening, he came to speak to Jesus. Now, why did he wait to after dark? Because he would see him during the day. He would see Jesus at the synagogues. He would see him many other times. But he says he came at night. Why? Because Nicodemus, as a fan, did not want others to notice him because of his clientele and the people that he was a part of. And so he went at night. He says, Rabbi, he says, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Now, changing it a little bit, I had to think about, now if you think of, I just gave you a little bit of the credentials and of Nicodemus. But what if we would change this to your name? What if we change this to my name? We'll say, there was a man named Ron Yoder, an Anabaptist religious leader who was a Mennonite. Would that be my credentials? Do I believe in water baptism? Yes. Do I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Do I believe that it's through repentance only that we can come to Jesus Christ? Absolutely. So I can have all these things that I could share with you, but how would it measure out for us? Would it measure out like what Nicodemus did? Even though he had all these credentials, even though he was a rabbi, even though he knew these here things, would God look down upon Nicodemus? Would he look down upon Ron Yoder and says, Ron, you have all these things, but you're still just a fan. You are still just a fan. Just because you have the knowledge, just because of these things does not make you a follower. You can have all the knowledge in the world, and we're going to look at that even. I think I have a little, fans choose knowledge, but followers embrace intimacy. Intimacy is not something that just happens. Intimacy is something that is cultivated. It's something that you're pursuing. It's something that you're intentional about. Then intimacy happens, and intimacy is something that it is an experience. And I can promise you here today, as followers of Jesus Christ, there will be experiences that will happen right here among us. And it's the experiences that change generations to come. Fans don't change generations. But followers do. Think about it. Fans don't change generations, but followers do. Fans choose knowledge. but followers choose intimacy. Last night, there was a group of us gathered together, and we just had a wonderful time together, but even through that, there was one gentleman that was there, and he's like, you know, guys, just pray for me, because in this area, there's a certain area, you know, I can believe for other people, but for myself, there's an area that I just have a hard time believing it for myself. And we gathered around him, and we began to pray, and we began to, yeah, just wonderful things that happened. And it just had a wonderful time last night in that, because it wasn't about knowledge of trying to figure it out. It was like the simpleness of the simplicity of the gospel, understanding when God reveals, just repent. We don't, you know, so many times we can get in the whole air, and I'm all about, we sit down and we with youth and all our staff and the married couples and all at the ministry. My wife and I have the privilege of sitting down with about 8 people a week, 8 to 10, and just for 2 or 3 hours and just dialogue with them and what is going on in their life. And so there's a lot of things that go on, and yes, we do. We begin to seek, and when areas of their hearts that are wounded that we go and dig into and want to go back and try to find. But there's many times that we logically try to make sense of it, and God is saying, you know what? I have revealed this first stage to you. Just repent from that. And if I want to reveal you where it has begun, then I will. But don't just spend so much time trying to find it. Do your first step that I have revealed to you. And just the simplicity of that. But anyway, I'm not sure where I went there. But anyway, I just did. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Again, are you a fan or are you a follower? O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I am far away. You see when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am doing, what I'm going to say, even before I say it. God wants to know you. God wants you to know Him. And just understanding that really knowing Him is something that you have a part to play. I was sitting down with a person the other day, and this person was saying, you know, I pray this and I pray that, and God needs to do this and God needs that. I said, no, stop right there. God doesn't need to do anything because He already has. He has already done everything for us. It's not like we have to sit and wait and say, okay, God needs to do this next thing. Absolutely not. He has done absolutely everything. And as a follower, we will go after Him, whatever it takes. As a fan, we think He still needs to do things for us. We still want it handed to us. But a follower is committed. He wants to go after. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. A follower continues looking at God and saying, what else is it in my life that you desire to cleanse me of? I remember for years, before I got out of bed mornings, I would say, God, before I get out, before my feet hit the ground, God, what is it today that I can surrender so that you will exchange it for something that you desire in my life? And it was day after day, week after week, so much that God would reveal things to me. I could repent and He would restore and I would repent and He would, yeah, it was just, and the beauty of that. I look back at those times and I love the intimacy through those times. But what happens in our journey? It says we get lukewarm and we get just kind of complacent and we just get kind of okay where we're at. You know, we're like, you know what? I know I haven't repented of anything in the last 6 months, but you know, I must be doing good. You know, we kind of pat ourselves on the back. How have you been doing in the last month? Oh, I've been doing well. I've been doing well. I didn't have to repent of anything. I'm not sure if that's so much to be proud about. Because I really believe as a follower of Jesus Christ, we will continue sitting at the feet of Him and allowing Him to reveal areas of our life to repent from. Repentance is a gift, guys. We look at it as something that we don't want to be a part of. We don't want, but that is where the cross is. We cannot sit at the feet of Jesus at the foot of the cross unless there is repentance in our hearts, really. And so the cross is a simple verse that I read from the very beginning that we all know, knowing that it's only through the cross, but it said daily for a reason. It didn't just say periodically in your life. It said daily, come to the cross and follow me. Who else but God can take the cross that represents defeat and turn it into a symbol of victory? Who else but God can take a cross that represents guilt and turn it into a symbol of grace? Who else but God can take the cross that represents condemnation and turn it into a symbol of freedom? Who else but God can take a cross that represents pain and suffering and turn it into a symbol of healing and hope? Who else but God can take a cross that represents death and turn it into a symbol of life? Because of the cross, Jesus' gift to you, victory, grace, healing, hope, and life is yours. In Matthew, he says, all nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. To me, we could change that. As he separates the fans from the followers, is really what he's saying here. You can not enter the kingdom of heaven only through the narrow gate, and the highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gate to life is narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will enter. And the reason I bring this in is for the fact we, too many times, because we're a part of a church, and because, yes, you took that step of faith, yes, Christ lives in your life, yes, you've accepted Him. For me, it was September 24th, 1989. Yes, I know that's the day that Jesus Christ came into my life. But do you understand that even though we have accepted Christ, even though you may be a member of a church, even though you may be a part of an assembly like this, wherever God has you planted, but we can still be on the broad way. The narrow way is only going to be for followers of Jesus Christ. Is it going to be difficult? He says it is. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to be something that everyone else is doing. And a lot of times we look at this here passage and we think to say that, well, it's the ones that are not following Christ. It's the people that are not what? No, it's right here among us. Right here. What is God saying to us? Are you a follower? Or are you just a fan of Jesus? See, a fan can testify. A fan can talk about the goodness of God. But a true follower will live it. It's a vast difference. In a fan, he will proclaim. We talked about in Sunday school this morning how the Spirit of God will come upon and people will say, well, the Spirit told me to do this and the Spirit told me to do that. But if it does not line up with the Word of God, then it's not truly from God. A follower of Jesus Christ will follow the Word of God. It will never contradict it. It will line up with the absolute truth that we have. Is the Word of God. Here in closing, it says here, now that this time began to, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, well, Ron, I knew that if you would come, you're probably going to have some kind of altar call or some kind of commitment. I want something to make clear to you. Have I made a decision or have I made a commitment in your life? We all have. We all made decisions or commitments. Fans make decisions. But followers make commitments. And it never really hit me until I was putting this here together is just this very saying. Because I remember often in the prisons, I would tell people as I was sharing with them, I said, don't come to the altar unless God is directing you there. Don't come on some type of emotion. Don't come just because there's others that are coming, because that won't change your life. It has to be something in your heart. And this is the very same thing. How many decisions have I made? And I look, you know what? This decision probably be good because I look at the outcome. Well, if I do this and this here, and I make the decision on the circumstances and not a commitment, saying, you know, it doesn't matter about the circumstance. I'm choosing to do this because I know it's the absolute truth, and I know this is what God wants to do in my life. I'm not looking around the people around us. Well, are they doing it? Or are they doing it? Or what are they going to say? Or what are they going to think? Or what? All these things will happen. No, we will die to it because why? We are committed. That's right. There's a vast difference between a decision and a commitment. And sometimes we get confused of that. We're like, you know, God, why am I not being victorious in this area of my life? Because we only made a decision. We only made a decision in our life because we thought of different patterns and we logically looked at this of why this would be a good decision. Instead of saying, God, because you're calling me, I don't need to know the outcome. I'm committed to you. And commitments last. They really do. Now, there's areas of our lives we all know that we've honestly made in our hearts a true commitment, and we may have failed. But when we do, usually right beside that, we recognize it and we repent. A decision, when we make decisions and we fail in our decisions, we kind of look at it like, you know what, this is the third time I've tried this. This is the fourth time I kind of knew that it wasn't going to work anyway. That's what we do with decisions. But commitments, it is there. It is rock solid. And I just want to bless you today that as you look at your life, and if God is calling you today to make a commitment, that it's worth the efforts of going that direction and not a decision. And as I close with that here today, as I said, I had to repent over and over again. And I, first of all, with my wife, and then sitting down with my children, when this began to come alive in me and sharing with my children the fact of how Dad has been leading you in some areas, and in some areas, Daddy has been leading you as a follower. But there's a lot of areas Daddy has been leading you as a fan, and I'm sorry. And I ask their forgiveness. And then at the next prayer and praise, when everybody was there, I begged their forgiveness that they would pray for me because I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't want to just be a fan. And the repentance brings healing. The repentance is a gift that God gives so that we can have an intimacy with Him. And that's my prayer for all of us here this morning. My prayer is that we would say, are we having these intimate times with Jesus? Because if you're just having your time with Jesus out of duty and because I just need to do these things, they're not lasting. Jesus Christ wants you to be a follower of His. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we come to You. We thank You for this time that in Your Word, Lord, we're no different. Yes, we may dress different. We obviously live in a whole different time frame of life and different culture and so many different, but they were human beings that were fans of Yours. And Jesus, today, among us, we have fans. And Lord, it wasn't that we chose to be a fan, it's just we kind of just fell in the fan department, and we were committed at the very beginning, and we would show up at the beginning of every softball game or whatever it was. We'd be there on time, we would be there all this, but then over time, we get kind of lax, and over time, we just kind of fall into the fan side. And we're not really dedicated anymore. And Jesus, for all of us, that is the tendency that our humanness begins to rise up, because to be a follower takes commitment. And Lord, being committed is daily taking up our cross. And Lord, for many of us, what does that look like? What does it look like to take up my cross and go to work in the morning? What does it look like to take up the cross and go to school in the morning? What does it mean to take up the cross and be a mother in the house this morning? Because we could just wake up and this is just a routine. This is just how we've been doing it and we'll continue doing it. And the list goes on. But Jesus, I pray that today, if there's areas of our lives that we know we're just fans, that we would just repent. The simplicity of the gospel is to repent. With your heads bowed here this morning, if God showed you areas of your heart, maybe as a father, having your devotional time with your wife or with your children has kind of faded away. It was a thing that you did at one time, or maybe an area you've never even started, or just leading out spiritually. And so that is falling into the fan department. Or if you're a wife here this morning and you just look at your daily duties as just something a mother does and not look at it as something that today, as I work around the house, or as today as I go to this job, or as today I do this or that, Jesus, I want to take up the cross and I want to serve you in whatever way I can. I want to look at this as serving you, Jesus. Or for the youth here today, if there's areas of your life that I shared about, you're not yet crossed over. It's still about what God can do for me. And not that I am committed. Say, God, you know what? I don't know what my future holds, but I just want you to know I am committed to you. I will go where you call. I will seek your heart. It's not about what my friends are doing. It's not about if I'm going to look like a radical. It's not if I'm going to look all these things. But it doesn't matter what I look like. I'm going to be committed. I don't know where you're at this morning. But if God is asking you to repent, I just ask you to raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. Is there areas of your heart that God has revealed? Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Dear Lord, we come to you. And Lord, I know this thrills you when we as believers, when we as your followers, Lord, see areas that we become fans and we repent. The excitement that it brings to you. Because you say, this is why I died. This is why I died, that the church would continue growing to know me. And each one of these people are the church of you, Jesus. And so, Lord, I just bless them. I pray that that your blessing would fall upon them, that, Lord, that this would not be a decision, that they would look back and say, this was a commitment that I'm going to make. And a commitment will tell their wives or tell their friends, say, you know what? You know, on so-and-so day, I made a commitment. Can you hold me accountable? Because I want to be committed in this area, whatever it is. Because, Lord, if it was a decision that we made today, we won't even tell anybody. We'll keep it to ourselves because we kind of already know that we may fail in it. But, Lord, if we're committed, if we're a follower, we'll humble ourselves and we'll tell our friend or we'll tell someone that we can trust, say, you know what? The other Sunday, God revealed something to my heart. And I want to be a follower in this area where He has showed me. And will you hold me accountable? Will you check in on me? Because I truly, truly want this for my life. Lord, I just bless this church as they continue ministering among themselves and into the community and into the areas that you have called them. Lord, I just pray that your blessing would flow. And Lord, as we become true followers, it will begin to change our community. It will begin to change the way we look at life. It will begin to change of how many things that we try to hoard up here on earth instead of going after the things that's going to make a difference in heaven one day. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for ministering into my life on this very subject and how constantly as you minister to me, how I evaluate things that I do and say, am I a fan in this or am I a follower? Thank you, Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.